because we want to know more about the Holy Spirit. For many, many years, in many, many ways, many people have not wanted to get too close to folks who believe in the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the only way, and through him is the only way we can come to Jesus. I want to read something from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, because he was asked about how to receive the Holy Spirit. And this is what Peter wrote. He said, repent. Now, some of you are saying, well, what do you mean repent? It means to turn and go the other way, from your way to God's way. I was thinking about the Hebrew term Yahweh, another term for Jesus or God. We want our way, and God says, come and follow Yahweh. Father, we ask for your inspiration of this sermon today and this message, and that you open our minds and hearts. Help us, dear Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So hear the word of the Lord through Peter. Verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And I think this is a good time for us all to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, do we really follow after the Holy Spirit? Or is the Holy Spirit something foreign to us? And the reason why we want to give these sermons is so that we can get to know the Holy Spirit, get to know his person and his work. In fact, we want to receive the Holy Spirit. And this is how it says, repent and be baptized. Repent of doing it your way. Now we're going to go Yahweh's way. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You know, today people don't seek forgiveness of sin. They think there's nothing wrong with it. But we need to turn to the Lord. And Lord, show me your way. We want your way, Yahweh. And you will be able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's an empowering thing, not a thing to be afraid of. It reminds me of a story about this deacon in the church. His name was John. And John was really into Christ. John would, when he came to church, he would shout, hallelujah. He would begin to even dance at church because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what one of the fruits of the Spirit is, peace and joy. And sometimes that joy just breaks forth. Not anything to be afraid of, but they didn't look like it at that church. And so they sent one of the deacons out to talk to John, because John was doing a lot of singing and a lot of shouting. And so they sent the deacons out and they said, now, John, you have to remember that we're not that kind of church. We're not one of those Holy Spirit churches, in other words. And we're afraid to have to say, now, you can't come back to church unless you repent and stop all of this exuberance and this singing and this dancing. That kind of embarrasses us. And John said, well, come on. Because John was a farmer, and he drove onto the property. He could see them coming in their trucks, in their Mercedes. And as he saw them coming, and he said, yes, fellas, what can I do for you? He said, well, John, we're going to have to ask you to stop coming to church, because this is just too much for us. We're not into all this Holy Spirit stuff. And John said, let me tell you something. You see that dirt you just drove over? You know where I got that from? And all of these acres of property? It's through the Holy Spirit. You know, I've got children. I've got sons who help till this land. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Not one of them has been to the courthouse. Not one of them have been in jail. He said, I won't come back to your church. But the Holy Spirit, I depend on the Holy Spirit. And I have been blessed as a result of it. I want to ask you, do you fear the Holy Spirit so much so that you would turn away from him, that you'd be embarrassed at his inspirational singing and dancing with, you know, Deacon John? Or are you willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you willing to be baptized. That means to turn your whole life over to him, to have all your sins washed away. If so, we'd like to talk to you about that. Even if you are one of those folks that dance and sing and so forth. We're talking about the heart. We're talking about the most important things. And we want to encourage you to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to preach more about this in a little bit. But we want you to receive the Holy Spirit, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's go and dive deeper into the Holy Spirit. And so I want to go through several things so that will give us an understanding. As you look back at a period of time when people were in distress because of storms and hurricanes, even more so today. And on the evening of Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus was raised from the dead, as most of the disciples were locked up in their hideout because they were hunted, because people did not like them being Christians. And in this instance, some of the people of the society, like with Deacon John, they didn't like it. This is over in Europe. And Jesus and his disciples had to hide. And they did not want to, some of them, admit that they were Christians. And so on the evening of the Resurrection Sunday, as most of the disciples were hiding, you know, behind the rocks and doors and so forth, trying to come to terms with the implications of an empty tomb. Imagine that. Here, your leader, you can't find him, Jesus. And the odd encounters some reported to have had with the risen Lord, with the risen Christ. They saw him, they embraced him. And Jesus suddenly appeared among them, and he reassured them of who he was. And he spoke peace to their troubled, discontented hearts. You find this. And I encourage you to read the scriptures that I'm going to give you. When you get home, go through them. In Luke chapter 24, verse 33 through 43. I'm going to say it again. Luke 24, 33 through 43. Also, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19 through 21. That's John, the Apostle John. 20, and then 19 through 21. And they were hiding. They were afraid. We don't want to lose our lives because we followed after this Jesus. And when Jesus breathed, you say, oh, that sounds kind of weird. That's why I want to go to that kind of Jesus church. But hang on. But when Jesus breathed on his disciples, a resurrection miracle in itself. What is all this breathing? I'm going to show you. He was communicating something of astonishing, fathomless profidity. Was it a big word? Yeah, because this is a big issue. And his disciples would have maybe understood this and the implications. But the Holy Spirit proceeds from God. Remember, I told you I broke this down into the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is none less than God. God. The Holy Spirit was proceeding from the Lord Jesus. You say, oh, Pastor, somebody proceeding from somebody else? That from Jesus was proceeding from his very being. The Holy Spirit's nature in the moment of Jesus when he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, Pastor, that don't make sense anyway. Somebody gonna breathe on somebody else? But we're talking about God. You've been in hurricanes and you've seen the weather and you've seen the wind blowing. You've never seen another person. That's why he's so unique and powerful. That's why some fear. I'm here today to tell you to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is powerful. You cannot worship God without the Holy Spirit. We all need him. We all desire to be with him. But they should soon come to understand that the Spirit was also their Lord. The Spirit is also God. Write it down. Ask God to put in your mind and heart that the Holy Spirit is God. You say, Pastor, how can you be? Just wait. We got a lot to cover. We don't have to cover it all today. But the Holy Spirit was also their Lord and their God. Is the Holy Spirit your Lord and your God? He was not merely a vague animation of the presence of God. Oh, I'm just seeing stuff at night. No. No, what he saw was the living God through the Holy Spirit. The breath of God was not like the breath of humans. It was not like the breath of humans. The breath was not an it. The breath was he, a person. See, I want us to understand that we have a living Savior. He's in the world today. And I know he is because I can feel him. I can see him through his word. I can feel him. That's why this title, Receive the Holy Spirit. Don't reject what you're going to hear today and next week. You see, that sounds a little spooky to me, Pastor. Well, don't follow no spookiness. Follow the Bible. Follow the Word of God. Follow what the Word says. He was not simply the force of power of God. See, the title of this sermon, not only receive the Holy Spirit, but to break it down, we're talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he has a work. And we need it. As a pastor, I cannot preach unless, as I pray, Father, even now, that you would preach through me. Whether we're on here at church, or we're on jobs, or we're driving, whether we have issues at home with family, whatever, we can't handle this. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit and sends his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into our lives, into our hearts, so that we'll have the strength to be more than conquerors. Not just to conquer, but to be more than conquerors. We can't do that in our strength. We can't. Therefore, Jesus came. The breath of life was not simply a force of power of wind, but God himself. God comes to live within us. He is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the breath of God. That's a way to personify it or him. The Holy Spirit was the breath of God. Because they understood wind. When they were out in the ocean and they had wind there, that's power. So when Jesus breathe on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They said, oh, we get it. As they were rocked back from the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the breath of God personified. Holy is the Lord. Holy is God. That's why Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit in personal terms. Notice the pronoun. He, throughout what I'm reading to you, he. This is why Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. Well, wait a minute. Isn't it the advantage that he said? No, it's his advantage that he goes away. Because then we will realize how much we need him. We'll turn to him in faith. It is to your advantage, he tells the disciples, and he tells us today. It is to our advantage that I go away. And if I go not away, the helper, the Holy Spirit is also called the helper. We need some help, don't we? Oh, Lord, don't I need some help? The helper will not come. But if I go away, then I will come to you. That's in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 7. Look it up when you get home. Call me if you need to. I've offered here to you just a minor bit of what the Holy Spirit is. An explanation more than that we will have in future sermons about how Jesus speaks to us. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. See, this is a spiritual relationship. This is something beyond of what we are used to seeing and understanding. We are speaking of a person who has all power, all might. We're speaking of the Holy Spirit. In that day, he says, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and in you. Whoever has whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself. He will reveal himself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. There's much more that we need to say. We'll wait for that to next week. But receive the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. So I don't understand it. You know what? It's a lot I don't understand. I don't understand how they talk about subatomic particles. You take physics, you can't understand that. There are a lot of things in nature that we cannot understand. There are absolute miracles, and yet we believe it. Why is it that when it comes to things about God and his life and the Holy Spirit, we say, how could that be? There's a whole lot that we could not understand. And we are called to worship God. We look up at the stars at night and we see the Milky Way. Now, how can that be? But you don't go and resist and I don't want to see that. No, I want to see the Milky Way. I want to see this or that or thing. Same thing with God. Just because we can't understand it does not mean it is real. And I'll get more into that, that he is real. We'll get into that next week. God bless you and God keep you. Father, we just ask that you would inspire what has been said today and that you will teach us and that we will receive it and we will turn our hearts to you. Beautiful, beautiful song. More than the song, the beauty of the truth about the Holy Spirit. I want us to turn now as we participate with the Holy Spirit in communion. Say, with the Holy Spirit, because he is God. And we are to put our trust in him. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, is not the cup of thanksgiving, this cup we drink, is not this cup of thanksgiving with wine we sip, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? I'm going to pause here a moment. For these are questions that Paul asked that are self-evident. But Jesus gave his life. This cup of thanksgiving. When we partake of the wine and participate in the body and the blood of Christ, we are having communion through the Holy Spirit, because God gave his life, God gave the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have communion. Yes, the bread and wine. Because you see, it's not this wine, a participation in the life of Christ. That's what it symbolizes. That's what it points to, that Jesus died and shed his blood so that God could have participation with, union with man. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, gave the life of his son so that he could have participation. We can have participation, rather, we can have participation with God. Imagine that. And it was God, through God, the Holy Spirit, gave us life. Imagine that. God wanting life with us. The Holy Spirit, he gave, he came. Father, we thank you for this blood, that you love us so much that you would give your sinless son for us, who did nothing wrong. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for taking this union of you and us for granted. Thank you, Lord. As one of our children would often say, as they would try to explain something, "Daddy, I don't have the word. Father, I don't have the word." Thank you for what you've done. And so we drink this wine, or take of the blood of God. Holy Spirit. We partake of the bread. Verse 16 again. Is not the cup of thanksgiving, for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread, that we break, is this not also a participation in the body of Christ? You see, the folks, the brothers and sisters, even the pagans, when they drank the wine, when they ate the bread, it was a symbol of unity and oneness, that somebody gave their lives, somebody shed their blood, somebody took bread, which we're all a part of, and which we all depend on bread to survive, to live. And we partook of it, and the other part went to them. My beloved, would you like a piece? And she takes her portion. God gave his whole life through his son to be partaken of. We partake of the Lord's life through the Holy Spirit. And we eat of him, and therefore we become one with him. We participate in the body and the blood of Christ. Goes on to say, verse 17, because there is one loaf. My wife and I are one in Christ. You are one in Christ if you have faith in him. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. We'll talk about that next week. Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one in body. For we all partake of the one loaf. Will you partake of the one loaf today? Will you partake of the Holy Spirit? He offers his life to you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to, this is the song, "He Has Done Great Things." Oh, yes, he has. Thank you.
done great things. He has done great things. Arms open wide, the Lamb crucified, worthy is He. He has done great things. Our God has done great things. Thorns on His brow, grace flowing down, worthy is He. As high as the heavens above, great is His everlasting love. Rivers of mercy run over us. As far as the east from the west, He has removed all our sins. We are forgiven by His blood. He has done great things. He has done great things. Arms open wide, the Lamb crucified, worthy is He. Oh, He has done great things. Our God has done great things. Thorns on His brow, grace flowing down, worthy is He. As high as the heavens above, great is His everlasting love. Rivers of mercy run over us. As far as the east from His blood. Think of what the Lord has done. Yeah. Where would we be?
has removed all our sin. We are forgiven by his blood. Yes, we are forgiven.